Father, we come asking that you would come among us, that you would rend the heavens and come down and speak to our hearts, reveal to us the glory of your Son, not with the intellect, but by the Spirit. Open our eyes that we might see more of our Savior. Show forth your praise this day in our midst, that Jesus might be glorified, and we all can say that we have met him this day. Come, be with us, anoint us with your Spirit, help us and guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have God's Word with you, I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, in chapter 1. And I'm going to read the first 14 verses. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This week has been a week that I think that we all can say has been one that has been always focusing our eyes on one person. And that person was Ronald Wilson Reagan. We have heard tributes by men of how this man lived, what he believed, spoke of his character, his faith, his family. We saw all the pomp and regal as the casket was ushered up through Constitution Avenue by the horse-drawn caisson. We heard the bands playing, the glitter of the uniforms, the honor guard that watched over his body. We saw the 21-gun salute, the 21 jet fly over, and all that was there was grand and glorious. He was a great man and a great president, but nonetheless, just a man. However, there is one far more glorious and more beautiful than a man. That person is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have already read the first 14 verses. And we can already see the purpose of the writer of the Gospel of John is to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as those who listen might believe. In John 20, in verse 30 through 31, you would see very clearly that this was the intent of John. His purpose was that Christ would be revealed. In chapter 20, in verse 30 through 31, this says this, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." As great as President Reagan was, a man to be admired, Christ is far more glorious, far more beautiful. And as I come this morning, I would like us to look at the first 5 verses, and I would like to look at Christ's glory under 3 headings. Christ's glory in eternity, Christ's glory in creation, and Christ's glory in time. C.H. Burton said, "We, the ministers of Christ, have tried Sabbath after Sabbath to lift him up. And it is such a sweet and blessed work that I would fain do it every day. When we preach the law, we feel it a hard and toilsome servitude. But to preach Jesus Christ, oh, how sweet and blessed is the labor. Happy is the man whose lips are ever overflowing with the news of Jesus. Blessed is he whose ministry is full of Christ. He is blessed in his own soul, as well as blessed unto others." We have here somewhat, sometimes very hard to understand. However, in my feeble attempts, I hope that God would bring glory to his Son. God the Father, God the Son. Who can understand it? But we see here God the Son was in eternity. The glory of Christ in eternity. Who is he? We are introduced to him as the Word, the Logos, as the Greek says, the Word of God. And it says that in the beginning was the Word. And we need to see here, we are just introduced to this one that we behold as our Savior, and as the one who was the one to redeem mankind. He is introduced to us in eternity, for he forever existed. And the phrase "in the beginning" does not mean the beginning of time. He was in the beginning. It means that he was in eternity before time ever began. And so this one Christ that we worship, the one that those who are his children put their trust in. What's forever? A person. He is. At the time of before the world, a person. And in the phrase, before there was time, he was. He was eternal then, and he is eternal now, and he will be eternal forever. He was not created. He is not an angel. He is not just a mere man. Our eyes need to behold him in the glory of what God has made him. God. He's just not an ordinary person. He was like us in his birth. But before that, he was the Almighty God. And we need to realize, why was his name Logos? What was his purpose? He is expressed as the Logos of God, the Word. He came forth to present the Word of God, his Father. He did not come on his own initiative, but he came to present to us and give to us his Father's words, and therefore he is the Word. But he was not only in eternity in this sense, but he was also in eternity in the presence of his Father. It says in the second phrase of our verse, and the Word was with God. He was a separate entity. And when we think of God, when men talk of God, they talk of God as one and only one. There can't be another God. And Christians are so often accused of talking about two gods. God the Father, and God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. That's three. When I was taught adding one, two, and three, one, two, and three, it comes to three. It doesn't come out to one. And so many in our day are confused with this issue. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, because they can't understand it with the intellect and with the mind, they say that Christ was just an angel. Christ was not an angel. He was ever a person, the Son of God. He was with his Father, in the presence of his Father, face to face with his Father, in all eternity before time was. And for us to fathom that is very difficult. Intellectually, it's incapable of understanding this truth. In John 17:5, Jesus says this. And I would like you to turn there, if you would. John 17:5. We were already in this passage this morning. But in verse 5 it says this, Jesus is speaking, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Just as you children look upon your face of your Father every day, Jesus in eternity was looking at his Father, learning from his Father, speaking to his Father. and loving his Father, and glorifying in his Father as his Father was glorifying him. So we need to understand that when Christ became a man, that was not the beginning of his existence. That was only the beginning of his earthly pilgrimage. And when we think of Jesus Christ, we cannot just think as if he was just a mere man. But we need to have the eye of the Holy Spirit to behold him as we should, that he was God. In Isaiah, in the 9th chapter, in verse 6, we are given a pronouncement upon his birth. And he's often called Mighty God. Mighty God in that passage. He's not just a God, but Mighty God. But we are so often confused with this concept of a triune God. We get confused, especially children. When you think of Jesus, do you think of him as just a mere man? For a mere man could not do what John records in his gospel. Healing a man who was born blind from his mother's womb. Nowhere in the Old Testament do you find a man was healed of blindness. Only Jesus did it. We read of Jesus walking on the water. Nowhere in the Old Testament will you find a man walking on water. Nowhere. When the woman had the issue of blood, when Jesus healed the leper, no man can merely do those things. Have you ever done those things? You're mere men. So Jesus was not just a God or just a mere man. When we think of the God-man, he is Almighty God. And to put any other construction on it is not to behold his glory as you should see it. And when you worship him and sing unto him, he's not just a mere man. He is God. And that's our next phrase in our verse. And the Word was God, John says. The Apostle John says he was God. He doesn't say he was a God, as the Jehovah's Witness would want you to do it. And matter of fact, they put in their Bible, a God. He's not just a God, children. Don't think of Jesus other than what his Father says he is. Mighty God. And that's the glory that his Father has given him. Oh, behold the Son as the Mighty God. I would like you to turn to a number of passages with me to try to flush this out a little bit. It's going to be a little tedious, but I hope you will flip with me and read it for yourselves. Let your eyes see what Scripture says about Jesus Christ, that he's God. And when you believe and trust your soul to him, he will save you. For if you don't believe he is God, your faith is in vain, and you're still in your sin. God the Father sent his Son into the world to save sinners. And if you are a sinner here, putting your trust in Jesus Christ to bring you to God the Father, you need to believe He is God's Son and not just a God or a mighty angel or a mere man. My first text is from 2 Corinthians 4:4. I have before me about 12 passages of scriptures. I will try to pick a few from the old and a few from the new. We'll start with the new. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And the context is that Paul is talking that the glories of the gospel of Christ. In verse 4 it says, whose minds, in other words, the unbelieving, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Christ, when you behold Him, is the image of God. If I had a son here in this room, you would see he's got arms like me, eyes like me. He might have more hair than me. But you would see that he's like me. The word image there means likeness. He is like his Father in heaven. All that you see God the Father is like, almighty, all-present, all that you see, immortal, invisible, Christ is like Him. In eternity, in the life hereafter, we will see Him. But it says that He is the image of God. Then if you turn to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. Philippians 2, 6. And it says, who being in the form of God, that is Christ Jesus in verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. If I were to turn you to the Gospel of John again, you would see when the Jews took up stones to kill him. In John chapter 5, he worked on the Sabbath day. He healed the man that was in the porch, and he told him to take up his bed and walk. And the man took up his bed and walked. And as he was carrying his bed, the Jews said, it's not lawful you to carry your bed on the Sabbath day. And the man said, all I know is the man who healed me told me to take up my bed and walk. So I did. So, later on, this man, at that point, did not know who it was. So he says, all I know is the man told me to take up my bed and walk. So I took up my bed and I walked. Well, later on, says that Jesus said that his Father worked, therefore he was working. As he see his Father worked, he was working. And as soon as he said that, the Jews were even angrier than they were before. Because now he had not only broken the Sabbath day, but also he said that he was the Son of God. therefore making himself equal with God. And the Jews were enraged and took up stones to kill him. Because he claimed to be God. Now you either have to come to a conclusion about Christ. As you sit in this room, young people, listen to me, kids. If he was God, which he was, but if he was just a mere man and said those things, what would you think of him? You would say, I don't want to be associated with him. He's a liar. Jesus was the Son of God, and he was God. The image of God in the flesh. Once eternal, now in the flesh, seen by man. Hard to understand how God could become a man. A mystery, I say yes. A stumbling block, I say yes. But to those who are God's children and look at him by faith you have to see who Jesus is. It's not enough to merely have it in the head. It has to be the eye of faith. Can't be by reason. Can anybody explain this in a reasonable sense? I feel utter helplessness in trying to convey what I'm trying to say. If you turn to the book of Revelation, in chapter 19, we find out that Jesus is revealed again. In verse 13, we behold this phrase, or this verse. He, that is Christ, was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called, what is it? The Word of God. The Logos of God. So this introduces him. But look down at verse 16. What does it say about him? And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now who is true king? Who is truly the Lord? If you go to the Old Testament, which I'm going to take you now, to Psalm 47. Psalm 47. And it says, Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. Who is it talking about? Confusing. Here we are told in Revelation that Christ is King of Kings. In Psalm 47, it says the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. Now, who is king? King Jesus? Or God Almighty? And the answer is both. God the Father is king. God the Son is king. Because God the Father has anointed him king and told him he was to rule. and he would subdue the nations under his feet. Psalm 2 is another passage that tells us of the coming of Christ. And God the Father is speaking. And he says in Psalm 2, I did not write the verses down. Psalm 2, God is speaking, he says, "Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession.'" So here God, the Father, is speaking to his Son. Two persons in eternity talking to each other. Just as you, in this world, speak to your Father. God the Father was speaking to his Son. He knew all that was in his Father's heart. He heard his Father speak these words to him. We need to see that God is King. God the Father is King, but also God the Son is King, because God has given him this precious truth. And when he heard it from his Father's lips, he knew it was true. In Isaiah 42, and in verse 8, God is speaking again. He says, "Behold my servant." Who is the servant? His Son. "Whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break." Then you go down to verse 5. It says, "Thus says the Lord, who created the heavens and the earth." Who created the heavens and the earth? We'll find out in just a few minutes. In verse 8 it says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to graven images." God says, "I will not give my glory to any other." But we always are glorifying his Son. Why? Because we know he is God's Son, like his Father. Because if we gave glory just to a mere man or just to an angel, we would not be worshiping the true and living God. And his Son is the expressed image of the Father. In verse 11 of Isaiah 48:11 says this, For my own sake I will do it. And how shall my name be profaned? And I will not give my glory to another. When we sing praises to Jesus, we're not singing just to a God or a mere man. We're singing to God's Son, which God gives his glory to. Thereby we can glorify him. Because he's all that the Ancient One of Days is. And that will be my last passage. I will take you to Daniel 7. Daniel chapter 7. here Daniel has a vision. In verses 13 and 14, he says this, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, that's who it's talking about, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, the Father, and they brought him near before him. There to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one, shall not be destroyed. Here we see Jesus referred to as the Son of Man, and the presence of the Ancient of Days, the Father. Both God, different persons. Both face to face with one another, communicating with one another, sharing in their relationship with one another, sharing their glory with one another, sharing their position with one another. Confusing? Yes. At the same time? No. By faith, can we believe what we believe? This is a stumbling block. Especially to those who are in darkness, which we were once. Christ can only be seen and understood as God by faith and by His Word. It is only by going back and forth to God's Word that one can see the Father interacting with His Son, speaking to Him. In John's Gospel, there's many miracles. And the first man, or the first few disciples, okay, were always going out telling the others, this is the Christ, the Son of God. And as, I think it was Andrew was going out, he wanted to introduce the Messiah, the Christ, to his brother, Nathanael. And Jesus saw him afar off, standing under a tree. And when Nathanael came, he said before that, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And his brother could only say, come and see. And as Nathanael was coming, Jesus said to him, I saw thee under the fig tree. And it says that Nathanael, just because Jesus said that, he said, the Son of God. He says, Nathanael, do you believe because I just said I saw you under the fig tree? You believe? Christ could see where Nathanael was that day under the fig tree. It was a cool place to worship God. He was worshiping the Lord. And Christ saw him. And as soon as Jesus said to him, Nathanael, you were under the fig tree, he says, you are the Son of God. I worshiped you this morning under this tree. And he was smitten in his heart. He was a man who spoke the truth. He was not one who minced words. And you see John, you see Nathanael, you see Peter, you see John the Baptist saying, this is the one the Father has sent, His Son. And you can only by faith and by His Word understand the identity of the Son of God. There's many other things that I could talk to you about. I'm running out of time already. And I haven't even got off in the first point. We'll go on to the next point. Because I had about 6-7 more locations to go to in God's Word to show that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and is God. When Jesus said, I am, throughout all the gospel, that word I am to a Jew, they knew what it meant. When God revealed Himself to Moses, who did He say I am? I am that sent you. Tell them I am sent you. And Jesus kept saying, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the good shepherd. And when He used that word I am, the Jew knew what it meant. God revealed Himself to Moses. And Jesus says, I am God. I'm the God who revealed Himself to Moses. The glory of Christ in creation, our second point. Verse 2. Let me get back there first. Verse 3, rather. Not 2. Verse 3. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Christ made all that you see. By merely speaking, He created it. All the fish, all the birds, all the trees, all the grass, all the land, everything we see. John says, Christ made it. But I can take you to other passages of scriptures that said, God made it. Now, if He wasn't God, there's a contradiction, isn't there? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God the Son, John says, created all things. Behold the glory of Christ in creation. Colossians 1:16-17. I'll give you a few, then we'll have to skip over a lot of them. Colossians 1. You may ask me, why don't you write these down and just spin them all? I could. But this way I have to go to it, gives you time to go to it, which I want you to do. Don't take my word for it. Colossians 1:16. It's talking about Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, even the stars and the moon which you observe were created by Christ, Paul says. John says it, Paul says it. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion, or principalities or power, all things were created through Him and for Him. The Gospels of John and the Gospel of Paul harmonize. They give Christ the position of creator. In Genesis, Moses says God. He doesn't say the Son. But I think that he was implying, in a generic sense, the Son of God created the heavens and the earth. That's what he was saying. I'd like to take you to one other passage, and then we'll go on. I'm running out of time, as I told you. In Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verses 11 and 12. Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker, ask of me the things to come, and concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, you commanded me. I have made the earth and created man on it. It was I, my hand that stretched out the heavens, and all their host I have commanded. Who's speaking? Who's he speaking? It's God the Father speaking, but who is he speaking of? He's speaking of his Son. Now, we're confused. John, Paul said it was Christ that created. Now we're here saying the Father created. We need to see they share in their glory with one another. The other doesn't dominate the other. Except Christ is submission, always in submission to His Father. They have no sin like we do. They work in perfect harmony with one another. Always doing all their perfect will together. When the Spirit speaks, He speaks not of Himself, but speaks of His Son. Speaks of the Son. Confusing? Yes. But glorious? Yes. The last point is the glory of Christ in time. In John 1, Christ is referred to as the light and the life of men. Does that mean all men? The answer is yes and no. Sounds like a contradiction, but it's true. We need to use careful usage of words because sometimes it's confusing. But here, John is very direct in saying that he is the light of men. Now, in a sense, that's true. God gives light to all men, doesn't He? Light that we share in this world is given by God. So men do share the light of God in common grace. God gives men privileges. And we need to realize that. So here, men in general can mean physical light. But to His people, it's even a greater light. He causes the light to shine in darkness. And when He reveals that light, a man is saved. Men are saved by the light that God has given. That light is His Son. And John says that's what Jesus is. In verse 9 of chapter 1 of John, it says that was the true light which gives light to every man who comes into the world. Does that mean all men? Do all men see Christ as the Son of God? And the answer is no. But certain men do. And if you're privileged to see the light of the gospel of Christ, it is God-given. It is God-given privilege. All men in general see the physical light, this light's in this room. But to see and behold the beauty of Christ and all His glory as God can only be given by the work of God in the heart. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. If any man walk in darkness, all men walk in darkness until they come to the true light. When they come to Christ. I'm going to turn to with you to the Gospel of John in John 17. In verse 10. How does God reveal His glory in this present age and the glory of Christ? In verse 10 He says, Father, all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Matthew says, a man who is the light doesn't put it under a bushel basket. But the light is put on a lampstand so that the world may see. Men see our light, but it's really the light of Christ. The light of men is given to men by the preaching of the gospel. And the men in this world don't often comprehend it. Verse 5. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I am speaking to you about Christ, that He is the Son of God. But He is the light that reveals Himself to men, so that men may be saved, and so that they will not walk in darkness. If you turn to John, 1 John says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, who is the light? Christ is the light. And if we walk in that light, we shall not commit sin. We need to see Christ is with us in this present world, in this present time. Not in the bodily form, but He's revealing Himself through the gospel by those who present the gospel each week. They're dispersing light to men. And I say to you, it is only by faith can you comprehend what I've been talking about today. And I say to you, has Christ revealed Himself to you? Has He shed abroad light in your heart so that you can see who He is? That you can glorify Him in singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? It's only because He is the light of the world, as He says He is. But He also says He is the life. Now that's in a whole other ballpark, and I've got no time left. He says, to those who believe on me, I will give them eternal life. There wouldn't be anything on this earth that would have life if Jesus deemed that He wanted to take it away. No life. The trees would be dead. The grass would be brown. There would be no birds, no fish, no dogs, no nothing. Nor you. But he says he is the life. He sustains all that he created with the breath of his mouth. But most important, he says, darkness has come upon man. I am the life, the way, the truth. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And I say to you, if you don't see Jesus Christ as God, as the Almighty God, the Son of the Father, sent by the Father to reveal the Father and to reveal the will of the Father, if you haven't come to Him today, you have physical life now. But the last death will come upon you in eternity. There is a second death that we're told will come to mankind. And it's because they know not the Son of God. And Jesus says to everyone who hears the word of John, I am the life of men. And he who believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And when he raised Lazarus from the dead, and he said, come forth, he was dead. But Christ spoke life back into him. In the resurrection, all men will hear the voice of the Son of God, and all will come forth from the grave. To those who believe, to everlasting life. But to those who believe not, eternal damnation. How do you think of Christ? Who do you say He is? Who do you sing to every Lord's Day? Who do you speak to when you pray? It is none other than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, worshiping all three in one at the same time. All three. And when we talk of God, it's the three in one, the triune God, that we worship. We don't separate them. We glorify them all together as one, in which they are one. One in spirit, one in will, one in purpose, but different individuals. You're confusing me, man. But I say, you have to believe God's word in order to believe what I'm saying. Christ said, he that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out, and I will give them eternal life. Either you're in your heart right now are saying, it is the truth, or it is the biggest lie that I've heard this morning. Either Jesus was the biggest liar, the biggest fake, the biggest phony, or he was truly who he said he was. Almighty God, the Son. Let's close in prayer. Father, we come after looking into your word And by faith we receive it joyfully. And we would say as Peter, help thou my unbelief. O Father, we thank you for your Son. God Himself becoming a man. How mysterious a thing it is to understand. And with the human mind, we cannot understand it. And therefore, we call for you to reveal your Son to us. Give us faith. Give us eyes to see, that we might go away from this place rejoicing this day, for you have been here. We bless you and we praise you for the unspeakable privilege of coming into your presence this day and into your presence. And we ask that you would take our feeble efforts, our feeble attempts to do it. May you bring glory to your name through it. Take your word, bless it, blow upon it, speak to each heart, and may none go away from here not knowing your Son and that precious gift of eternal life. Father, be with us after this service as we take the time to talk to one another and to eat and to drink. May it all be done for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.